Hey everybody, it's your wonderful and good-looking host, Pash B. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ozporn podcast. Today I'm interviewing Molly. Now, Molly is not a performer. Molly is a full-time editor who has worked in the Australian industry on many different projects for nearly a decade. Molly is a wealth of knowledge and an all-round good time and a long-time friend of mine as well. I think you're really going to enjoy what they have to say. Hi everyone, I'm here with Molly, a longtime porn editor in the Australian industry. Hi Molly.
Hi.
How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, even better now that you're here.
Stop it, you.
So, full disclosure, I've known Molly for a few years now and we're, I would say, pretty good friends.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
So we hang out a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say that.
But I thought it would be really fun to have you on the show because I think the back end of porn isn't really discussed so much in terms of production.
Yeah, totally.
So can you tell me what you do?
Yes. So I feel like I do a number of different jobs in porn. At the moment, I mostly do editing, but I also do filming and some directing. And I feel like I've done a myriad of jobs in the porn industry since I started in it, which is many a year ago now.
Like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, truly.
A jack of all.
Just tried my hand at everything, really. Just tried it all.
How long have you been in the industry for?
Oh gosh. You know what? I feel like I always want to say 5 years, but I think I've been saying 5 years for about 3 years now. So I think I'm coming up on 8-ish.
That's how I feel about the year, like 1990 being 10 years ago.
Oh, I know. So I feel about my age as well. I'm like, what is it? I don't know anymore. You know,
it just keeps going.
After five, you just can't remember.
So how did you get started in this industry?
Honestly, so truly and deeply by accident. I had just moved to Melbourne and I met a person just randomly through a friend who was working for a porn company in Australia, and I was working at a completely different job at the time, just like I was working at a university just doing something, this person was working at porn, and I'd never met anyone that worked in porn, either a performer or anyone who worked in the back end. I didn't really know anything about the industry. And this person that I met, sort of was telling me a bit about their work, and it sounded really interesting and fun. And it was also very novel for me to meet someone that worked in the porn industry because I just knew nothing about it. And then when this person, they had to leave the country because they weren't from here. And when they were leaving, they were like, oh, well, there's a job opening up at the company that I work for. If you're interested, I think you'd be really good at it. And I remember talking to my housemate at the time and being like, I don't know, like, what should I do? Like, the job that I have now is like pretty like safe and secure, and like I don't know a lot about this industry, and I've never obviously worked in it, and what do I do? And my housemate was a bit like, do you know what, like, it sounds interesting, it sounds exciting, it sounds different, like you could always do it for a bit, and then if you didn't like it, you could stop. And I was like, yeah, you know, that checks out. So I just decided to give it a go, and I actually really loved it. It definitely was a lot more interesting and engaging than what I was doing. And it's a lot, like a much more varied and multifaceted role. Like every day is a new surprise, you know, like, and I think I enjoyed having a job where like every day when I would come home, like even if I felt like it had been quite a mundane day, every day when I would come home and my housemate would be like, how was work today? And I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, just a regular day in the office. Like we poured milk on someone and then like, I'm trying to think of other things that we do in the office, but those sort of things, you know, we poured milk on someone and then like someone put a lollipop in their asshole or something. Like,
I'm such a huge fan of pouring dairy on women. I don't know what it is. I really enjoy it.
Well, I think I like that too. I think I like how much a porn cliche is actually quite fun. And I think that, doing things that are a bit like tongue-in-cheek, like, hey, the pizza's here. Like, oh, I splashed myself, but now my shirt is wet. Like, it's silly, but it's fun. And I think if you don't try and make it serious and you just lean into the silly of it, then that makes it quite enjoyable.
I once shot this model who had gigantic tits and they're amazing. And I think you probably edited this at some stage. But I got her to, I think, pour like 4 liters of milk over herself. But to get her to do it, I had her sipping milk out of the bottle, but she was really bad at drinking it. So it just kept getting all over. So she had to keep taking her clothes off. And I just, at that point, I was like, no, this is good.
Erotic
this is,
genius.
Yeah, this is golden material.
I feel like I've done so many milk spillies. Like, not me, but like I've shot or edited so many milk spillies. Like I remember doing one where like a model was just on like a lino floor and I was like standing on a bench just like pouring milk from on high. And it was supposed to be a bit arty, you know, just like, so like someone was shooting it and you couldn't see me, but you could just like, there was just like a milk pour coming from above. Cause you know, that's sexy, fun.
You and I shot a food fight once.
Oh, that was really fun.
With yogurt, and the yogurt was dropped and we thought when yogurt was dropped, it would, I guess, explode.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I feel like that. I remember this and the yogurt drop was underwhelming, I would say. Like, I think the models that we shot with did an amazing job of making it look whelming. I definitely did think that it was going to be a lot more splashy than it was. I think there was like maybe like a little bit on the model's hand and one little splash on her face, which was fine, but I was expecting it would be like a real yogurt mess.
I thought it would explode over all three of them in a very dramatic way.
And it's also one of those things that you only have one, which happens sometimes, I guess, when we've shot together as well. We're like, you only get one, you know, when you only get one shot?
Yeah.
And you're like, this has to be good. And it definitely worked, but it wasn't quite what we thought it was.
Or you face a shoot entirely around a prop that you brought that day and it just does not work. Like, I think we shot a clay pottery class or something, but the clay we had brought was like oil based.
Yeah, I do remember this. Oh yeah, it was really hard to mold.
But we had to wash their hands with like turpentine before they'd have sex with each other because it was so toxic and so like sticky on the hands, and it wouldn't come off with soap.
Yeah. Oh no, that is funny. Or I feel like when you think that something's going to work a certain way and it just doesn't quite, like, I mean, I guess this is kind of what happened with the yogurt thing as well, is that like when you drop a yogurt, I expect it to spill, but that yogurt, like, it's almost like you couldn't have done on purpose the neat drop that had happened. Like, to just drop a yogurt from a height and have it land upright, fully upright on the table, and just only like a tiny little drop comes out. Like, you couldn't do that on purpose, you know what I mean? Like, only by accident.
Do you ever like get jealous of the models that you shoot when they're having like a really fun time?
Yes, all the time. Absolutely. Like definitely like in that food fight, for example, which I know we've talked about a lot, but it was a very fun shoot. But like, I've never had a food fight before, and I can't imagine a genuine scenario in my life when I would be, when I would have a food fight.
I feel like once you're no longer like 12, the opportunity ceases to exist.
Yeah, like it's just like it's just not an appropriate thing to do anymore.
Can you imagine if someone came to your house and started throwing food?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. And the thing is, it wouldn't be cute because it's very messy, and cleaning up after that food fight was very messy.
I feel like I'm at a point in my life now where I'm like, that's like $15 worth of pasta.
Yeah.
That could have been my lunch at work tomorrow.
Yeah, although we didn't have the nicest food, to be honest.
No, so we cooked food for this very fancy dinner party that was, I think, plain pasta with frozen peas and corn in it.
Yeah.
And, like, we made a pav, though. We did make a pav.
Well, it was a box pav.
It was a box pav, but we whipped the cream.
We did whip the cream.
Oh, no, we didn't. We used a tin of cream.
But I think also sometimes, like, if we're doing shoots, like we've done some out in nature where, like, models get to, like, you know, they're swimming in some beautiful water and you're, like, filming and I'm like, gosh, that just looks like the most glorious sex to be having.
I don't know. Oh. No, you weren't there. It was I shot an orgy a few years ago now and it was out in regional Victoria and it was a 40-degree day and there were, like, 5 or 6 girls. And there was a bathtub on a veranda that was full of cold water.
Yeah.
And I was wearing this, like, quarter sleeve dress that was very hot and I had very long hair. And we spent the whole day on this fucking veranda in this 40-degree heat and all the models in our breaks wouldn't, like, put their clothes on and were splashing in the bath, be like, ha, it's just so cool and nice. I'm so free. I'm eating grapes in a bath. And I remember being so jealous.
Yeah, because you're like, it's not appropriate for me to get naked and get in the bath, but I wish that I was already naked and in the bath.
Yeah, and, like, it would be weird if I would, like, walk over and, like, put my feet in the bath and just stand in a bath with the girls having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely that.
Yeah. But you said you worked at a university. Were you editing when you worked there?
No, I had done some editing beforehand, but, like, not a lot. And my jobs previous were not in editing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did know how to edit and I had done some editing before, but I'd never been an editor. And when I first started working in the industry, I wasn't editing in the beginning. I was doing, like, I guess, like, producing more, like, pre-production. And then I think there was maybe someone left, the place that I was working at the time, like, someone left and they needed someone to edit. And I kind of put my hand up because I was like, well, I know how to edit and I've done it before, like, not in this industry, but I could do it. And so that's kind of how I got into that. But it was the first time that I'd ever done, like, a full-time role. Like, I'd done some little editing jobs. Like, I'd done some editing when I was at uni,
right?
But never worked in it, except just, like, for fun,
right?
You know, like little bits and pieces for friends or things like that.
It's funny. Like, I went to uni and I did a film degree as my undergrad, and then I did another film degree as a master's. And when I finished my undergrad, there was this kind of, I guess all of us thought that we would get jobs immediately.
That's how it works, right? You go to uni and then you get a job.
Yeah, but when you do a film degree, like, everyone wants to be a director or an editor. And I guess maybe some people want to be a producer, like, but they're all quite grand roles.
Mm. On yeah.
And no one got a fucking full-time job. And when I think of, like, your job as a full-time editor, I can just imagine everyone I went to uni with, hearing that you didn't do your film degree and you just fell into a full-time editing job, just, like, pulling their hair out.
Do you know what? I think about this sometimes, actually, where I'm just like, I do, like, it was really lucky. And it was really just one of those things that, like, I don't, like, I couldn't have, like, it's almost like if I'd gone out looking for it, it wouldn't have happened. And actually, people ask me that sometimes. Like, I've definitely spoken to people before who have been like, oh, like, you edit porn full time. Like, how did you get that? Like, what was the steps that you took? Like, maybe I'd like to do that. Like help. Like, what can I do?
Help.
And I'm like, and I have to just be like, honestly, like, I just can't tell you because I guess just go to a lot of cute dinner parties and see if you can meet someone that happens to already work there that's about to leave and give you a job. Like, that would be my advice to you. Like, because, yeah, I feel very grateful, but it definitely was something that, like, I didn't set out. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't have set out to be an editor because it was something that I enjoyed doing, but I definitely didn't set out to, like, this is not where I thought I would be at this point. This is not what I thought I was going to be doing.
Yeah, like, I also very much fell into this industry, and every time I go to, like, a house party or, you know, a social event and meet people I've never met before and we talk about work, a lot of them are like, oh, like, how do I get in that job? And, like, I think I've had a few models as well who have asked me how I've gotten my job.
Mm.
And it's a very unsatisfying answer. Be like, oh, well, it just happened. Accident.
Yeah. Just get lucky, I hope. Put a wish in the well.
Yeah, I met a person once.
Yeah.
And now I have a job.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Since you've been editing porn, has it changed, like, your sexual tastes, like, pre and post, I guess, porn?
Do you mean, like, in terms of what I like in my sex life, that kind of thing? I think...
Just before you answer that, I just want to say pre and post porn work, can we call it, like, this is BC, which would be before Christ, or I guess BP.
BP.
And AP. So AP was...
Just, I don't know if that BC and AD... Does BC stand for before Christ?
I thought before Christ and after death.
No, I think that that's... I think that that's a mistake and not a mistaken, but I'm not sure if that's it. Anyway, I don't know the answer.
I will Google it later.
Okay, great.
And argue with you about it.
Okay. I'm not even arguing. Yeah, maybe that, but yes, AMBP and AP. Gosh, interesting question. Cause I would say that perhaps there have been some things that I got from seeing the sex that people were having,
right?
That I hadn't thought of before, and I would say that perhaps it's funny because I've been in the industry for so long that actually my own my sex life has changed a lot anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know, when I first started in the industry, I was, maybe 25. And that was around the age that I was, going to a lot of sex parties and doing a lot of, that kind of thing.
Doing a lot of sex.
Yeah, which is just – but, that was just, happened to be what I was doing in my life.
Yeah.
And now I think that I'm doing less of that, and there's, a number of reasons, COVID and, you know, I'm a bit older now and, blah, blah, blah. But – not that I think that age means that I can't do those things. It's just that, I don't happen to be at this point in my life. So it's hard to differentiate, what would be – because people ask me this question all the time of, whether, working in porn has, affected my sex life. And I guess what I'm saying is that, my sex life has changed a lot during my years working in the industry. But it's hard for me to say if working in the industry has affected it or has, changed it or if it's just a natural progression, because, it does change a lot. And mine has changed a lot and it probably will continue to change a lot, but I wouldn't necessarily say that working in it has had a huge effect on it. There are definitely times I would say that after a big week at work or some weeks, I'm just I couldn't the idea of having sex is disinteresting.
Yeah.
Because I'm just exhausted from a big week of work or, you know, whatever. But it's hard for me to say whether that would be the case. And it usually isn't forever or ongoing. I'll have I just need a week off, or I'm not really interested for a month or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it's really difficult for me to say whether that is to do with working in the industry or not, because so many of my, for me, formative sex years so far have happened while working in the industry. Because I'd say between the ages of like 25 and now have been like, you know, a lot of sexual exploration and like some of the feelings of the lack of, what's the word? The lack of inhibitions probably are helped, have been helped by working in the industry. Like, you know, wanting to go to sex parties and like some of the things that I want to try with like sexual partners, like positions or sexual acts that I want to try that maybe I've seen in porn and been like, that looks interesting. And I feel uninhibited by them because I'm around them a lot. So it definitely probably has influenced it in a way, but it's really hard to take the two things apart because so much of it has been,
yeah,
together.
Chicken and egg kind,
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, like I'm not sure what it would have been like without porn because it's been such a big part of my life while in these really formative years.
Yeah, right.
Sorry if that got a bit rambly.
No, not at all. No, that's really interesting. Like we shoot queer porn with, you know, mostly vaginas involved and, you know, I'm in a monogamous relationship with someone with a penis. So I guess it's not compatible. Like it just feels very separated for me, what I shoot with the sex that I have.
Yeah.
So I guess it's never really, yeah. But then I guess you're a queer person.
Yeah.
And there is, I guess, compatible parts in that.
Yeah.
Sometimes with positions I've been like, maybe I could try that at home.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, like there are definitely like sexual acts like that, like I guess to get a bit candid with you.
Oh, I'll take a little bit of candid.
Bit of candor. Like I guess before I started working in porn, like I'd never done really rimming before.
Oh, yeah.
It just like I wasn't opposed to it. It just like, in fact, maybe I even would have been a little bit like, no, licking butts is, that's weird.
It's where poo comes from.
I would never. But like we shoot a lot of it in porn and like it's not so much that I'm like I edit or I'm on a porn set and I see people having sex and I'm like, God, I just want to go home and do that. But I just like, because it's not like that. Like there really is, wait, I'll come back to this. But yeah, something like rimming. I'm like, oh, I've never even really thought about that being like a really pleasurable thing. But like from working in an industry where I see it a lot, it becomes really like I felt less inhibited about the idea of asking for it or wanting to do it. And so those sort of things become incorporated into my sex life because I don't feel like, because it became really normalized for me as being not something that seemed like scary or like out there. And I think the same with like, you know, kinks or fetishes or things like that, that like you see in porn and like, especially the sort of porn that I have often shot, which is like usually pretty like it's, I'm doing air quotes here, it's like hardcore porn, but it's pretty gentle stuff that we mostly do.
Oh, it's very gentle. I would say there is a level of like fetishism involved in a lot of the stuff we shoot, but again, in a very like gentle way. And on that, like, I know that I tried armpit licking after shooting it, or not after shooting it once, after shooting it a lot.
Yeah.
Continuously. And I think that was something that, I guess it's porn that I would, like the porn that I shoot, I would never watch myself.
Well, I'm the same.
Yeah.
And it's not because I don't, like, it's just not what I, it's just very different from what I would normally.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the porn I watch is extremely different to the porn I shoot. To the point that when I shoot the porn that we shoot, I feel kind of like, this is probably sexy.
Yeah. Where I'm like, is it? Well, I remember what I was going to say before. I was going to say that people often ask me, whether it's hard to shoot porn without like,
without getting super turned
on. And the thing is that people that have asked me, like I haven't been usually, it's not like people being creepy, but like I think people are like, oh, is it like weird to be around that? Like, does it make you feel weird? Like, I guess it comes with the question of like, how do you differentiate between like your work and like, you know, your regular sex life? And when I'm on set, like, or when I'm editing, like, I really am, there really is a real disconnect from like a disconnect from the idea of me being aroused. you know, I can look at something and be like, okay, like I see what the shot is and I can see that this is sexy, or I like can picture that, like that's a cool sex act, or that the bodies look cool in this space. But in terms of like being aroused by it, it's like such a different part of my brain. And like perhaps that's also just how my brain works. Like I'm definitely someone who, like, when I'm in like a sexual encounter, like my headspace is really like in that sexual encounter. And when I'm at work, even though I'm watching sex, like I'm not in a sexual headspace. I'm not putting myself into that headspace, and it's just not where my brain goes. So like I don't feel that, it's not weird in that way. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's like a mindset, I think. Like I think I could shoot the exact kind of porn that I watch, and I watch only one kind of porn. Oh, no. I watch two kinds
of porn. I also only have a couple that I watch. Yeah.
I watch gangbangs and I watch, I guess, like really old dudes with like quite young women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're like my two modes. But even if I was to shoot that every single day, I don't think I'd ever get turned on at work shooting.
Yeah. It just like, I understand why like people outside of the industry would maybe think that. Because before I started working, even like, when I first got the job, and I wondered that about myself. I was like, is it going to be weird? Like, not that I thought I was going to be creepy, obviously, but I was like, is it going to be weird to watch people have sex making porn, which is like designed to arouse people? Like, is it going to feel creepy to be on that set and be like, oh God, am I getting turned on? And like, I don't know. Like for me, that's just never come up. Like it actually just has never come up. Like I don't know what other people's experience are of working on sets, but for me, like it's just a completely different way that my brain is working in that moment.
I think it's the same as like, I guess in terms of kink, like it's sexy to, I don't know, like the kind of pain you get from, I guess, a flogging if you're into, you know,
yeah,
pain and sex. Is a sexy pain, but it's not like when you stub your toe, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a really good way of describing it.
Smart.
Have you ever, like, I'm going to use that because I feel like a really good way to describe it to people. It's like the difference between like sexy pain and like, ow, I just slammed my hand in the door pain. Like, you're like, it's pain, but it's not the same.
It's a mindset. I think you really need to be like in the mode.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I also think that when you're in sex mode, things can be sexy that are quite gross as soon as you've finished having sex.
No, truly, definitely. And like even just like sometimes like messy, dirty sex that you're like, I'm glad that I'm having it, but like I wouldn't necessarily, like, you know, like afterwards you're like, yeah, that is like a dirty, messy time.
Yeah.
But hot.
Yeah. Like hot, when someone like spits in your mouth during sex, yeah, you're like, this is amazing.
I wouldn't want a stranger on the street to spit in my mouth, but like,
I wouldn't want my long-term partner to spit in my mouth.
Not just in the kitchen. You're just like having a cup of coffee and they just like spit in your mouth. Like, I mean, some people maybe are into that if they're into like a lifestyle kink. But for me, if my long-term partner just spat in my mouth without any warning in the middle of the day, I probably wouldn't think that was sexy.
I think I would be quite upset.
Yeah. But actually, I feel like another thing about like another question that like I think a lot of people picture like working in an office for porn to be this like a sexy place. Like, the office is like, I don't know. Like, and do you know what? If I try and cast my mind back many years, like before I worked in a porn office, I would have kind of pictured it as being like a very sexy place. Like, but when you work in it, it's just an office. Like, you know what I mean? Just an office.
I really enjoy as well that there's still the kind of like office, because I worked in offices before I worked in porn. I worked in marketing offices.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that the same kind of faux pas in, you know, a marketing office exists in a porn office, like putting fish in the microwave.
Yeah.
Which I will always do. I have
Yes.
No shame around microwaving my sardines.
Yeah, get your sardines, baby. Get those sardines.
But I really enjoy like how all of your office kind of, I guess, like, you know, we've worked with quite a few people who have very quickly left the company. But they, I think having an office background really helps because you are working in an office for, you know, three quarters of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and even like, funnily enough, like even on a shoot day, like it's not as sexy as people think. Oh,
it's very stressful.
Do you know what? But also like, even like, so obviously when you're shooting the scene, it's, I guess there's sex happening. It's sexy. But immediately afterwards, everyone's like, all right, and now we're going to wash our hands and have some lunch. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like a sex. It's not like, or even like just being on a set and, you know, everything's very sexy and high energy. And then, you know, someone will be like, oh, sorry, could have caught the freeze. And everyone will freeze. And then the one will be like, oh, could I just have some water? And like, maybe like, and we'll have a little joke. And like, it's sexy, but it's not sexy in the way that I think people imagine it to be sexy.
No, it's not like a kind of, I guess when you think of like 80s porn, it's not that happening continuously.
Yeah, or it's like, I don't know, I imagine it's what it would be like if you worked on a like a horror movie where you're like, okay, we're shooting a scene and everyone's in character and it's a horror. We can cut this out if this is really too off topic.
No, continue.
But then I'm sure that if someone breaks or if there's like a freeze or if they have to call it cut, then everyone's like, cool, now we're just like regular people on a movie set and then they have to get back into it. It's like that. It's like, you know, sexy, but not the whole time.
Fun fact that's also very left of field. In The Human Centipede 2, I think it was. Yeah, it was The Human Centipede 2. There was a huge amount of poo involved in that movie.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, there was a gigantic amount of poo. But the special effects dude, like it was all practical effects. He had to make all this poo and it was a black and white movie.
Oh, it was. Okay. I don't like horror and I've never seen The Human Centipede. And I thought that you meant that they actually had to deal with like people having like, bowel issues.
No, I think if the whole cast was I don't think
on camera. I just thought you were like everyone was like, maybe not. We can't do this scene today. I'm just having a tummy time. Like,
no.
Okay, so, fake poo. Gotcha. Yeah, that makes way more sense.
The practical effects guy had to make all of this poo, and he had like all these different recipes for it. And in the end, it ended up being like chocolate fudge mix from like a cake packet from like Woolies. And peanut butter and like Rice Krispies or something. And they had this issue where all the cast just kept eating this poo. Yeah, like when they'd call a cut and when they were off camera, they'd just like idly like just eat handfuls of this poo. And they started running out and had to have a crew meeting about it.
Like, oh, God.
Please stop eating the fake poo. We really need it.
I feel like I would struggle with that. It's like, again, we're way off center here, but I'm sure we can rein it in a second. But it's like, have you ever been to a baby shower where like they have that game where they're like the diapers with like melted chocolate in them?
So I've never been to a baby shower and my own baby shower was cancelled. Oh, true. So I do not know.
Well, I have been to one where they played that game and I was like, do you know what? I know that's a Twix and I still don't want to smell it.
So what's the game? Is it smelling chocolate in nappies?
So yeah, I mean, it's like they get nappies and they melt chocolate bars in them. So it looks like poo, I guess, essentially. And then they make you try and guess what chocolate bar it is by like looking at it, maybe smelling it. And like, and I was just like, do you know what? I don't think I want to. And I don't imagine that I would want to eat the fake poo on a set either.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
so that's where we've got. That's where we've gone with this. That's where we've gone with this.
Poo. Can't live with her. Can't live without it.
No one will, this is not where I thought we were going to go. It's really not. That's not it. I've never even done any.
You've never even done a poo?
Never.
So you with editing porn, I feel like you would watch porn a lot.
I do. It is. They do like it if you'll. I just said it with my eyes closed. I'm like, oh, I don't want to accidentally see. That'd be rude.
Does it like, I know, you know how they say that they do those studies where like watching violent movies a lot like alters your brain, watching too much porn alters your brain. Do you think editing porn, I guess it comes down to the same mindset that we were talking about earlier, but does it make Do you think your brain's gone all funny since you've been watching porn all the time?
No. I think, like, I think I would say the main difference would be that, like, in random scenarios, I'll be like, this could be a segue. Like, I think not in a way that, like, it's not that I'm like constantly thinking about sex. Cause like we sort of talked about before, like there is a real disconnect for me between like my work life and my real life. So I'm not constantly thinking about sex or like in my sex life, it's not such a big thing, but I definitely feel like in very mundane scenarios, and I'm not even talking about like me thinking that I'm going to have sex with a person. I just think like, you know, in very mundane scenarios, like someone will be like, okay, now go try and think of an example. Like someone's like, ooh, buying a cup of coffee and like some of it spills a little or something, like
silly me.
Yeah. Or like I'm trying to think of examples that aren't just cliches, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. But like if someone was like, oh no, my car's got a flat tire, my brain immediately is like, segue. That's a segue. That's how sex starts. Like, not that I think it's going to, but like there's just this little part of my head that's like, ooh, that's a way that sex can start.
Well, I think like, I don't know. Sometimes when I'm making a bunch of GIFs out of porn to like queue up on a Twitter queue and I'm looking at like 50 different GIFs at once when I'm trying to find a good one, I think to myself like, oh, this can't be good. This can't be good for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe also like something I think of being like when you've been looking at so much porn that you just don't even see it as porn anymore.
Oh, very much. Like I have caught myself showing my granddad photos of me on set with what I guess is hardcore porn happening behind me, being like, look, granddad, this is me at work a couple weeks ago. And he really appreciated it. But I totally, totally get it. And then afterwards, my, you know, just thinking to myself, like, oh, maybe it's weird, like me showing my granddad pornography. Like the thought of him, like if anyone getting aroused by it is just quite foreign, I guess.
I know, no, that's it. And that's what it is. Like, because sometimes, like, I'll be at my house editing and, like, my housemate will walk in. And it'll take me a second to, like, we have, like, a shared study. My housemate usually doesn't work from home, so it's usually fine. But if my housemate comes home and walks in to the study, it'll take me a second to be like, oh, there's, like, just, like, a lot. Like, it's just, like, frozen on, like, close-up vagina. And, like, my housemate's really cool and chill and, like, knows what I do, so it's fine. But, like, I'm sometimes like, oh, I forget. I remember one time I was, like, I was living with a different housemate, and I used to do my editing at the kitchen table because we didn't have a study. And this housemate had a friend who was like a mutual friend of ours who was coming over like to help out with something that she was doing like in, around the house. Like maybe she was like installing a new bookcase or something. And I would just be doing my editing at the kitchen table. And this friend would come over like maybe every day for a week, just be like, it was probably not installing a bookcase. That doesn't take a week, but like some building.
It was a really heavy bookcase.
Some building thing around the house. And like they would sort of come in and I'd be like working on my porn and they like sort of, we'd have a little chat and they'd like do some work. And then eventually like they said something to me like, oh, like are you coming to the bar later or whatever? And I was like, oh, well, I just got to finish my work. And then maybe I'll come down. And they're like, oh, are you working right now? And I was like, yeah, like I'm editing. And they're like, oh, what do you do for work? And I was like, I edit porn. And they were like, oh, is that what you're doing? And I was like, yeah, what did you think? And they genuinely thought that I was just middle of the day, full, like just watching porn for like 5 or 6 hours at the kitchen table, not even wanking, just like watching it. And they were just like, I come over and this person's just like watching porn at the kitchen table and that's just perfectly fine. So yeah, and I was like, but I was also just like, I also thought it was really cute that they didn't bat an eyelid at it. Like even when they found out, they're like, oh, that's, I just thought you were watching porn. And I was like, cool that you thought that that was just cool, that I was just like watching porn in the lounge room, but like not even in a sexy way, just like watching.
That has real like just got out of prison vibes.
Yeah. It's weird. I was like, that'd be weird. That'd be a weird thing to do, right?
That's a good friend to have though. You should keep that
friend. Yeah. They had no qualms. They're like, yeah, you watch, I'll build this bookcase and you just watch your porn.
But when you do like edit porn, I guess like, are there many like tricks and tips and funny things you do to make the porn seem hotter?
I feel like not so much for editing, I'd say more for shooting it, that there are little things that I do to make it seem hotter. But that's also why, like, since I've been also filming, it makes editing things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because when I'm on set filming something, then I know what I need to get to make it hotter in the edit. And a lot of that is just to do with like, it's angles, it's shots, it's like, it's positions. And like the other thing with porn as well is like a lot of the time, like the positions that are hot for porn wouldn't actually necessarily be hot be in.
They're terrible. Yeah. And they hurt your lower back.
Yeah. We talk about porn tongue, right?
Yeah. So porn tongue is when, to lick anything in porn, you really need to
really extend.
Yeah, so you can see the contact and it really hurts your tongue.
Yeah, and like, and it's also like, I'm not saying you can't get off from that. You can, I guess, after a time, but it's not if the you're best. Very it's, lucky. Yeah, it's not the best way to get off. Like, it's not like, as someone who has had sex with lots of people who have labias and clitorises, that's not how I would go for getting them off. You know, just like I extend my tongue and put my face over here.
But have your face as far away as
I possibly can while there's still contact.
With like your funny arm that's behind your back.
Yeah. And hair always just like scraped back.
So what can't you cut? Like, have you ever been cutting something and it's been just, I guess, less than ideal, but you have to keep it and hope that no one notices? Like, what can't you cut out?
I guess the orgasm, if anything happens, like, cause a lot of this is to do with like what's been filmed. Right. So if like most of the time you can cut things, like you can cut it so that it's smooth, especially if it's a two camera shoot. But if something happens during the orgasm, like a sound happens or whatever, like that,
someone's phone rings.
Yeah. Like you don't want to cut that out because that's obviously like an important moment. If the cameras move for whatever reason, like they're readjusting or they're like, and the models also move and there's like no continuity there, I guess. But I mean, like you can still cut it. It just, and also this is another thing, like I sometimes think this to myself where I'm like, no one cares as much as me. No one does. Like, I think this all the time where I'm just like, I'm editing porn and I get so really invested in like the continuity. And I'm like, that hand was there and it was going upwards, not downwards, and like this and like that. And like, and I just, and I think, and I'm like, I'm not ever watching porn being like, oh no, they had their hand on their head and then it was on their boob. Like, no one cares, like, but I care. And I would say that also, like, since I've been editing full time, like when I watch regular movies or TV shows, I'm like annoyingly like, that was a bad edit, like that person's hand has moved from where it was in the last cut. And I really notice it and I'm always like, did you see that? And people are like, no one cares, like literally no, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, I think that this is terrible.
Since I've been editing stuff for some other companies and editing the fucking sound, which is the worst thing to edit, I hate it so much. I've noticed in reality TV when the conversation is like cut really hard.
Yeah.
I find that very noticeable.
Well, editing the sound is like a kicker, right?
Oh, it's the worst. I know. I hate it so much.
And also like, so when I've been doing directing, right? Cause like usually when I'm like, if I'm editing something that I haven't directed, then anytime the director does a direction, like it's fine, but you're always like, there's another thing to fix up. There you go. And which is obviously fine and it makes sense. But it's even more annoying when it's me because I'm editing my own voice and I'm like, shut up. Like, stop saying things.
I've edited stuff that I've shot myself with one camera. I edited an anal video I shot once and the guy in it was just not, I don't think he was hearing me or he just wasn't really understanding what I was saying, but I was just me saying, opening, please, opening to camera, please open, opening, over and over and over and over again. And I think when I sat down to edit it, it took me something absurd, like 5 hours.
Yeah, it's wild, right, how much the sound can take, how long the sound can take.
Because you can't the sound is like something that you can't fix, yeah. You know. If it's fucked at the beginning, then it's fucked forever.
Yeah. Although I do think it's fun sometimes, when you fix up a tricky piece of sound in a really, it's like putting a puzzle together. Like, you know, where you have to like find like a moan from over here and like a slurp from over here. cover it up and you like play it back and you're like, flawless. It's amazing. No one will be able to tell.
When like the people who are jerking off like are watching it with the sound off or like in little tiny like fast-forwarded bits.
And that's it. Like, I'm like, they just watch the thing. Yeah, no, they know, right? They're not like, they don't watch the whole thing from start to finish and go, oh, well, you know what? That was love. Well done. That continuity was beautiful. The sound was amazing.
10 out of 10, will wank again.
Yeah. Oh, God, no, that's not what they're saying. They're usually like, that's not how a sandwich is made.
Yeah, or like, this isn't actually hacking code.
Yeah, we get a lot of comments like that. Just like, well, oh, like they left the door open. What if someone got, and I'm like, what are you looking at that for? I mean, like one video that I edited where like, it was like someone coming over to the person's house and then they like were having sex in the kitchen and like she lets the person in and they're like, oh, hello. And they like walk inside and she forgot to close the door behind her and we forgot to shoot it again. And we got like comments from people being like, that door just got left right open. Like, what, that's weird. And I'm like, why do you care?
That woman ordered a pizza.
I'm like, what is wrong? Oh my God. Yeah. Or like literally someone being like, that was the, we made a sandwich one time when like where someone was making a sandwich for a friend. You know what I mean? When I'm like, a sandwich for a friend? Segway, that's the start of sex right there, obviously.
I don't think I've ever made a sandwich, like, alone for a friend.
Well, the friend was there.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it was a duo.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Being like, I will make a sandwich for the future.
Why would you assume that making a sandwich for a friend was a solo video?
I don't know.
Just like, can't wait for my friend to get this sandwich.
Oh, I'm so horny making this sandwich for my friend who I'm seeing later.
But anyway, we'd forgotten to bring all the ingredients that we wanted for the sandwich. The sandwich ended up being hummus and tomato with no butter and anything. And then she cut the crust off and like, we were like, that's fine. Who cares? Like, we didn't bring the sandwich ingredients, but that's just fine. And we got a bunch of comments from people being like, that sandwich looks disgusting. Who eats hummus and tomato and the crust cut off? I hope someone ate the crust. That's a waste of crusts. And I was like, this is from multiple different people. And I'm like, whoa, now, I'm sorry. Like, could you not enjoy your porn?
You take what you get.
But now I'm like, I really want to make another video, a follow-up video, that's the same model taking someone on a picnic and pulls out just like the same sandwich, like, tomato and hummus.
Or like a slightly worse sandwich.
Yeah, just
just hummus.
Just hummus with the crust cut off. Amazing. It's a
truly terrible sandwich.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite videos that you personally have edited and why?
Let's see.
Because I feel like you wouldn't edit, your favorite videos wouldn't be the ones that are like the sexiest.
No, I think my favorite videos are the ones that, like, for me, my favorite videos are the ones that like have a bit of a silly storyline. So sometimes my favorite part is like editing the intros.
Yeah.
Because those are quite silly and funny and I can have a bit of fun with them. And we've done a lot of different, like, I don't know, I just think the segues are really funny. And when we really like lean into making something a bit silly and funny and the funny thing about it as well, I've said funny like 12 times just now.
Is it funny?
It's a bit funny. I just think it's funny. but it's that most people just skip those, I'm sure. Like, I would say like 90% of people who are watching are just like, well, we're just going to skip to the sex and then that's fine. But but I really love making the intros. So any video I've done that has an elaborate intro, like we've done like, you know, a bit of like a Charlie's Angels kind of vibe, or like we've done a bit of a...
There was one that we, I think it was one of the first things that we shot together.
Mm.
And it was at my old house out in Brunswick, and someone was staying with someone or something, and she was like, you can do whatever you want in my house except looking in the left drawer.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, that was a really good one. That was the Groundhog Day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Each day she was staring at this drawer that she wasn't allowed to look in and going crazy, and it was edited very similar to The Shining.
Oh, no, that wasn't the Groundhog Day one. Sorry, I'm thinking of something different.
No, this, no,
I remember the one.
No.
Yeah, yeah, I remember the one.
And it's
yeah.
like, Wednesday.
Yeah. And we had, yeah, no, that was good. And every day she was like, what's in the drawer?
And it's just full of sex.
So obviously,
Yeah, which she then masturbates with and then has sex with the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking of the Groundhog Day one because that was the first one we shot together, I think.
The one with Charlie Ford and Amber someone.
Rose.
Mm. Yes. That was fun. Can you refresh my memory of what that intro was?
I don't like. I think it was something just like we did a bit of a like. The beginning was this person sort of waking up and going down to the lounge room, and their housemate was making her like a cup of tea, and then they would all like almost have sex, and then it would be like,
and they do it again.
She'd be waking up again, and like blah blah blah, and she go down, and like eventually they do have the sex, but we did a real like just the alarm, the waking up, the like montage of like the day before the sex actually happened, which is kind of like, I guess we were going for like Groundhog Day thing where like, you know, you go on like 1,000 dates before you actually like smooch the girl.
Groundhog Day, it's the Bill Murray movie when...
Where he like goes...
Because Groundhog has a thing in America where like the groundhog doesn't come out and then winter continues. I mean,
there's
something
like that. Like if the groundhog sees his shadow, then there'll be like... More winter.
I thought it was if the groundhog came out.
No, I think it's if he sees his shadow. I don't really know, but you know the movie is just like...
Yeah, with Bill Murray.
Yeah, and so it's like he relives the same day, but they like it gets more and more like montage-y because it's like it'd be boring. You'd have to watch like a very long movie to see the same day.
I think if Groundhog Day happened to me, I think... Because I already think I have like... Not an evil side... But
well, I would say yes, you have an evil side.
I think if Groundhog Day...
For sure, yes.
I think if Groundhog Day would have happened to me, I think things would get quite awful very quickly.
I agree. I think if you had free reign to do whatever you wanted because, like, days did, like, nothing mattered, I would be afraid of what you would do.
Oh,
I've seen what you do when things do.
Oh, I would burn down cities.
Oh, truly, truly. Terrifying.
So, before we go, there's a few questions that I'm asking every guest, which there have been many. Just a few little fun points about the Australian porn industry.
Great.
So, without further ado, what do you think the main difference between the Australian and the American industry is?
Well, I've not ever worked in the American industry. I think from what I can see, the Australian industry is a lot more like grassroots kind of vibe, like, would be my thoughts on that. Like, I think probably before I ever worked in the industry, like, the way that I pictured porn was very much the way that I picture like American porn, because that's like what I imagine the industry to be, which I think is just a lot more like,
run by men.
Well, yeah, yeah. But also, like, I don't know, I think there's, like, an intimacy in the Australian porn industry that I enjoy in terms of just, like, a bit more of, like, a conversational porn. Like, a bit more, like, I don't know, it just has a bit more of a, like...
It's a bit more authentic almost, like, a bit more gentle.
Yeah, like, a bit more, like, hey, you're invited into our... into our sexual encounter, as opposed to like, this is high production, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's sex that you could have.
Yeah, it feels like quite realistic.
Yeah.
Or at least like the stuff that I've worked in and shot and edited, like it's very it feels like real sex, like, which, you know, I'm sure is the same for like, it, you know, it's sex, but this sex that I've worked on, it feels very genuine, and it feels very like that kind of intimacy where it's like, oh, you're just being invited into a space where people are having sex, as opposed to being like this, like, oh, we're doing a production of sex, and both have merit and both have space. But I think also like there are a lot of, I mean, I'm not sure what it's like if this is the case in America as well, but there are a lot of like women in the porn industry here, which I think is really cool and special as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
I hope one day that you and I can work in Montreal for, I don't know, one of those gigantic conglomerates.
Oh, I would love that, because I love working with you. I think we work well together. You. We make cute stuff.
I think we do too. Yeah. I think we do really good.
I agree.
If someone wanted to enter the porn industry, I know we touched on this earlier, well, I guess the Australian porn industry, what would you tell them apart from be good at it?
Do you mean like someone who wanted to model?
Sure.
Okay, I think I would probably be like, you know, make sure that the people that you're working with make you feel really comfortable. Like, I think especially people who are new in the industry, or if people are young in the industry, like, perhaps, like, you're not sure how you should feel on set. And if you've been in it for a while, then maybe you know what feels comfortable and what doesn't feel comfortable for you. But the thing is, like, even if it's your first day and your first time and your very first video or photo shoot or whatever, like, you should always feel comfortable. Like, even if you're nervous, like, you should feel like you're being listened to, respected, like, made to feel comfortable. Like, it shouldn't feel like an experience where you're having your boundaries pushed, or that you're not being listened to, or that your feelings aren't being put first. And like, also, of course, like, you know, you've got to go into it knowing that, like, you know, like, it is porn, it is the internet, it is out there
forever,
and it is forever. Yeah. So like, that's something to understand as well. And that is also great and cool. And I think that's my main thing, is that like, nothing, like, you should never have your boundaries pushed. You should never be made to feel like you're being forced to do something that you don't want to do. And if you do feel that way, then like, you can absolutely say no and like, not do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very good piece of advice. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ever let yourself be made to feel like you're being like, that it's inconvenient, or that it's inappropriate for you to be like, hey, I don't want to do this particular thing, or I don't want to be portrayed this particular way, or I don't want to say this. Like, you should always be able to say that, and that should always be respected. And if it's not, then you should say no entirely to that particular thing, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Online. No, I feel like you've just given such a like sincere piece of advice that my next question feels very silly.
I'm multifaceted. I can go from serious to silly. Let's go.
What is your, like, if you had an unlimited budget, unlimited production, unlimited everything, what would be your dream scene and who would star in it?
Oh, I don't know. I think like, I would really love to work on a film that was like almost like a feature length parody of something, like something well known, like a feature length parody of like Star Wars, or a feature length parody of like blah blah blah, but like done in a way that it's almost like maybe not copying a movie, but like a similar genre, like a fantasy genre or like a superhero genre, where there's sex involved, but there's also a storyline that could be watched without the sex.
So it's fun for the whole family.
Well, yeah, like genuinely almost that, where it's like to make a movie that's like, because when I was much younger, I used to quite enjoy watching feature length porn where it's like the storyline is bad, but it's kind of interesting to see what they try to do. But I would like to make a porn where it's like the storyline is good and the sex is just a bonus, but also is hot and nice. It's like, it'd be like almost like, imagine like watching a movie that you enjoy and there's a sex scene, but it's like an actual sex scene.
Like Nymphomaniac.
I've not seen that, weirdly.
You should. Yeah, it is more or less exactly what you've just described.
Well, that I think that that would be really fun. And like, yeah, to the point where it's almost like, not that I'm like, it's almost like if you didn't have the sex scenes in there, the story would actually still be interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And I think that I would love to work on something like that.
Who would be your lead role?
Oh, well, I don't know. Like, I'm not playing favorite. I've got so many. There's so many great performers. And also I feel, I don't know, like, I feel like I could, it depends on the movie, you know, like,
yeah,
I, because I haven't given you a specific movie because I don't have one in my head. That's just like an idea that I think would be fun. But if I had a specific movie, I think I would then, like, there's lots of performers out there that I think are amazing and that I've worked with for years, and I'm sure that they would all be amazing.
But like, if I was a performer, I would be your favorite.
No, absolutely. If you were a performer, you would absolutely be my favorite. I would cast you in every role. You would be all of the characters in Star Wars.
I need that validation.
Yeah. So you just let me know if you ever want to be in every Star. If you ever want to be every Star Wars character in my feature length movie,
I would love that. I would love them to all have my name as well.
Yeah. Great. That's not going to be confusing at all.
My dream scene would be in the snow in the Arctic, and we'd just have a bunch of women with huge tits just jumping up and down.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like in the snow, like, I think it would be hard to shoot in the snow, but I think it would be really visually beautiful.
I would love, like, I think I'm quite a gentle director with the performers, and I think a little less gentle with crew sometimes. But I would love to, like, direct something in the snow with a bunch of women with big tits who are just jumping up and down, but be shouting at them to jump up and down harder. I think that would be...
Jump harder.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
Yeah, no, I do think I think a snow shoot would be beautiful. I feel like I'm always just like, oh, but I'm so worried about the comfortability. I'm like, oh, it seems chilly.
Oh,
but
no,
it would be so absolutely beautiful. But the jumping up and down will help, you know, get the blood flowing.
I remember arguing with the model once because I turned the heater on and she was like, oh, it's a little warm in here. And I was like, oh, no, it's cold. I don't want you to be cold. And she's like, please turn the heating off.
I'm so hot.
It's like, no, you're cold and I'm looking after you.
You're cold.
But look, that's, I think, all we've got time for tonight. Thank you so much, Molly. It has been a real pleasure.
It has been. I always love talking to you.
Oh, I love talking to you too. We should do it every day until we die.
I agree. I'm in.
I'm in, Levi. I'm joking out of
it. I'm not joking. Let's do it.
I've named my future child after you.
Stop it.
Oh, no. I will, but your first and last name.
Oh, great. Perfect. I'm actually so fine with that.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I'll see you really soon. I'll probably see you tomorrow and every other day forever.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode. Please, whatever you're listening to, whatever you are listening to us on, if you could give a 5-star rating, it helps us out a lot more than you would know. And it gives my stats a big push up and makes me a happy little jelly bean. But I will see you real soon, Molly.
Yes.
And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks. It's nice to meet you all.
Weird thing to say.
I'm so cutting out.